Okay, here we go. Another exciting edition of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, all of my pal, co-host, friend, City Hall reporter, Sherry Coolidge. Sherry, how are you?
I'm good. Guess why?
You're here in the booth with me.
Well, obviously. Council's on a break.
Woohoo! Recess.
And real, that's what I think of it as, recess.
Yes.
All right. They did. You know what? They just finished up passing a budget. You can find that on our website. Kind of the winner. I called it win, lose, or draw because a lot of things in this budget ended up just being the same.
You know, which is more than what the Ohio State House can say right now as they continue to sputter along and miss their deadline to pass a two-year budget. Someone brought that up to me, that at least City Hall and all their mess did pass a budget on time and with relatively little drama. Meanwhile, in Columbus, which is also one-party control on the other side, the Republicans, they continue to... I don't know what's going on there.
Our Columbus Bureau is all over it. I'm thinking about starting up a fund to collect pizza money for them because I feel like they're going to have a lot of late nights. And they were there all weekend. I talked to Jesse Ballmert yesterday morning. You know, it was exhausting. Because you have to wait not only for what they're going to do, you have to wait around for, like, the plans of, like, what they might do.
I mean, how about a Sunday night, 7 p.m., full house meeting? That's, you know, you don't see a lot of that in government.
You know, our legislators, they made the road trip up there and they posted on Twitter and stuff. And I thought they should put out their playlist.
what
are they listening to in the car?
Shameless plug for last week's episode. If you missed Jesse Ballmert, she was in our opening segment, our State House reporter, talking about all this wild stuff going on in Columbus. That state government and the budget is so important to everyday people's lives here in Cincinnati and across Ohio. Go back and check that out. Phil, was that episode 42?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Phil Didion, our executive producer.
You know what? I thought when Jesse was talking about all that, I was like, what if the budget is settled by the time the podcast comes out, like in the next day? I mean, that was
silly you.
Reality, but no. I mean, isn't this the first time they've ever missed it?
I read something where it's the first time they've missed it in, like, several decades.
Yeah, because I can't remember that.
Yeah. Let's shift gears and let's talk about more crazy political stuff.
But it's summer. There's nothing, right?
Oh, no. We're already... It's summer 2019, but we might as well be in fall of 2020.
You must be talking about the first district congressional race.
We are off and running. And to set it up for you, if you haven't been checking with Cincinnati.com, which I recommend you do... right now, I wrote a column last week saying that the first congressional district, Steve Chabot's district, is already heating up. You have two Democrats jumping in that race, Mason resident Nikki Foster. She launched her campaign yesterday at a brewery in Mason last night, and our Scott Wortman, our political reporter, regional political reporter, and Hamilton County reporter, and do everything and thing reporter, was there, and he was all over it. Wrote a nice piece on Nikki Foster on Cincinnati.com right now, so get to know her a little bit if you want. Clifton's Kate Schroeder. These are two first-time congressional candidates. Nikki Foster ran in a state house district in Warren County last year and lost pretty overwhelmingly in a gerrymandered state house district.
But what's the key here? They're both women, and they're reading the tea leaves. They're taken aback. Steve Chabot is not easy to run against, not only for his longevity, his record, and his popularity on the West Side, but, this is the year of the woman, they're saying.
Yep. And
next year. The next year is the year of the woman.
You know, I'm telling you, the DCCC, I always get that one crossed up. The fundraising arm for the congressional Democrats are so bullish on this district. They saw AFTAB Puraval losing only by 4 points last year. That is a pretty wide margin. But when you factor in some of the mistakes that he made in his campaign and the fact that it is a gerrymandered district favoring the Republicans, they see that as an opening. And what happened last year in the midterms were 20 first-time or little-known women candidates flip seats, Democratic candidates flip seats. And so they were really gung-ho and aggressive on recruiting specifically women candidates for this race. And I think their strategy, you know, you can't argue the success they had last year, and it's a really good strategy. And here's why. In 2020, especially in a district like that, it's predominantly suburban. Suburban women, college-educated women, are a real target for both Republicans and Democrats, where the Democrats thinking that they can get a lot of crossover votes because of the Trump resistance, and that women, moms, suburban moms would be really upset and turned off by some of the things that Trump has done and said on Twitter. Whereas the Republicans are trying to sort of stem the, you know, stave off the Democrats in Ohio. I'm speaking in Ohio, just Ohio. I had sat down with Jane Timken, a GOP, the state GOP chairwoman, yesterday, and she talked about how the Republicans are trying to keep their folks in the fold. And if they can do that, she said they're focusing a lot on urban and suburban areas already. They already have a person here on the ground, a field person, she said, which is much earlier than last year or in 2016. And what they're doing is they're trying to make sure they can lock up votes, because across the rural areas of the state, they know those areas are going to go for Trump. And if they can keep the Democrats from really running up the score in the suburbs, then Trump gets reelected, and Republicans, probably across the state do well, or, you know, in this case, Shabbat, they think that he can get reelected.
Well, you know, I'm already getting the ads, like on social media, Facebook, Instagram. And why? Because I live in the district.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a suburban, educated woman. And all the sides, I think, see me as someone who's going to be able to vote for them. And it is already starting.
But yeah, it is started. And the other thing, too, is speaking of what started, is some of the crazy rhetoric already out of the gate. So Nikki Foster, who is an Air Force combat veteran who flew combat missions in Iraq and Afghanistan, a mom and wife, has two young sons, launches her campaign yesterday. And the NRCC, the Republican congressional fundraising arm, comes out, and their spokesperson comes out really aggressively when just in response to Foster launching her campaign. And Foster seems like a, you know, she's, again, military veteran, seems like a pretty fairly moderate Democrat, comes out and calls her a socialist loser, the congressional Republicans do. And it was like, whoa, here we go.
I know. And it is like that. It's too much. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, headlines should, you know, they were trying to make us all read that. Worked. But that's a lot. I mean, you have to explain yourself when you say things like that. You can't just throw out things like that. Or in full campaign swing, I guess.
I know. Not even the July 4th of 2019. And it is crazy how we are already in 2020 mode. And around here, there aren't any real major elections. There are, a lot of elections in the suburbs. And these are certainly important elections for trustee and school boards and, you know, small town mayors and that kind of thing. But in terms of congressional races or any, you know, big, you know, countywide seats or, city hall or anything like that, nothing's on the ballot this year, and at least in this area. But I'll tell you, I'm still kind of catching my breath from the 2018 first congressional district. That was a wild, nasty, crazy race.
You know, and you sat down with Aftab.
I did. Right? I sat down with Aftab a couple weeks ago. We had a beer, and first time I'd talked to him since the election, and seems to be doing well. Seems to be really eager. I had heard that, you know, he had started to sort of show up at events again, and, you know, after kind of a cooling off, I call it a cooling off period for him, bought a new house in Clifton, was sort of had gotten married during the campaign last spring, and so wasn't able to take a honeymoon, and was able to take his honeymoon after the election to Hawaii, and seems very rested and rearing to go. And
he hosted a debate watch party.
He did,
for one of those,
and it was a fundraiser, and it wasn't. He was considering, with this gerrymandering case that came out last week, He had been kicking around the idea of running for Congress again, had the Supreme Court ruled and ultimately what would have been in favor of the Democrats, and that the first congressional district would have been redrawn to include the city of Cincinnati and most of Hamilton County. That has not come to pass. So he has not expressed publicly his intentions yet for 2020, other than to say he will be back on the ballot in 20. He is the clerk of courts, and most people, I think, see him as running for re-election for that seat. What else? Anything else political? It's crazy to feel like we're already 10 minutes into this thing, and we are just on a roll about politics. We've kind of gotten away from politics a little bit, and it's been kind of a nice break, talking food and ice cream and big boys and bad boys.
Yeah, we're back to the hard work now. Back to the hard work.
Although we are going to have some fun with our guests today. Really looking forward to our guests today. I should have said this at the top of the episode, but I will say it now. We have Ashley Brenneman Shirley coming in. She's a spokeswoman for the Kentucky Speedway. Again, kind of continuing on our fun summer thing of mixing in some kind of non-political guests. We thought Ashley would be great to bring in 20 years of the Kentucky Speedway to talk about what's going on through 20 years, and that they're celebrating their 20th anniversary of 20 of racing coming up here this month. And if that Brenneman name sounded familiar, it is because she is the youngest daughter of Marty Brenneman. And so we'll look forward to having Ashley in, ask her some fun stuff about growing up with her famous dad. And I'm pretty excited about
talking
to her about the Speedway and about Marty.
When the teachers called on her in class, I'm guessing, that was probably usually their first question, and they knew how to spell it.
Yes. So anyway, let's hop to the guest segment and bring in Ashley. All right, guest interview time. Special guest today, Ashley Brenneman Shirley. I asked her if I was okay to introduce her as Ashley Brenneman Shirley, and she said it was fine. Ashley, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming in. And if the name, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. The name Brenneman sounds familiar. It's because Ashley is the youngest daughter of our hero, our guy, Marty Brenneman. So we'll ask Ashley about some Marty stories growing up with Marty. And
I'm assuming everyone is like, you're so much prettier. Did everyone tell you that?
I love that. Thank you, Sherry.
And Marty is a granddad to your sons, right? Sons?
Yes. I have two. Yep. Yeah.
But let's talk about 20 years of Kentucky Speedway. Ashley is the official spokeswoman of the Kentucky Speedway down in Sparta. And big summer now. It's crazy to think 20 years of the Speedway.
I can't believe we're at 20. It seems just like yesterday.
And you've been with the Speedway since 2005.
Yep.
So you've seen a lot. You've seen most of this time. Can you just give us some basics about what's coming up here? Not this weekend, but the following weekend. And what are some of the exciting things that we can expect around this 20-year anniversary?
Absolutely. So our big weekend is July 11th, 12th, and 13th. July 11th is the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225, which is the truck series race. And then Friday is the NASCAR Xfinity race, and that is the ASCO 300. And Saturday is the Big Dogs. That's the Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart. So it's a big weekend.
Lots of advertisers.
Yes, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Yes, absolutely. But we have a great weekend planned for fans. Camping is number one. I mean, the rolling hills in Kentucky, you can't beat it. It's beautiful.
What I'm always interested in is just the fun stuff around the event and the camping and the tailgating. I remember one year, I remember one year someone created like a hot tub in the back of their pickup truck.
Oh, absolutely. That happens every year.
It does. Okay.
Oh, you see it driving around. I mean, it's fantastic.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen a fan do and like that? Or what are some of the things that you've seen that are just kind of like, You'll never forget this.
I will say that's probably at the top of my list. I'm in the media center most of the time in the infield, and I don't get to leave much because, you know, my main job is to work with the media.
It's a crazy day for you, a crazy weekend.
Right. But, I mean, the next morning, there's a lot of cars still around the speedway. I mean, you know, because they just had a lot of fun.
Well, you know, and honestly, that's best.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's what we want them to do. Exactly.
20 years. Can you give us a brief synopsis about how this whole thing came about? What was that late? They broke ground, what, 98?
98. Mm-hmm.
And I remember Jerry Carroll was the original owner, and there was a long legal battle to get the big NASCAR race, and you finally landed that in what, 2010, 2011?
In 2008, Speedway Motorsports, our CEO, Bruton Smith, purchased Kentucky Speedway, and we announced in August of 2010 that they were bringing us a cup race, and it was the greatest day. It was hot. It was down at the track. I was pregnant. I was 9 months pregnant. I was due beginning of September. Yeah. I was 8 months pregnant. But I had to be there. I had to be there for that announcement, and it was great. So we finally got it.
Have you always been a racing fan? Was it?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, okay.
No. When I, it was an internship that got me, inspired, and Tim Bray, the director of communications,
former
my boss.
Channel 12 sports director.
So I interviewed with him, and honestly, they asked me a couple questions about racing and people that are diehard racing fans, terms that they use to describe these people. I won't say, because some of them can be a little not nice. I didn't know any of them, and they said hired. Yeah, so
but you know now, right?
I know now.
The job. You definitely. I'm sure.
I mean, I've been there since 05, and I just, it gravitates you. I mean, if you've never been to a NASCAR race, you can watch on TV. It's left turns, right? You get down there, you see it, you taste it, you smell it. I mean, it's more than just a race. But when those cars hit that track and that green flag drops. Oh, it hits you.
Have they put you behind the wheel? You're not pregnant now.
No. I actually got in our pace car, which is even more scary, in probably 2007 because, it had road tires. It was not an actual NASCAR. And our fire safety director at the time put, I was in the front seat. Oh, I said every word in the book and called my dad and said, you won't believe what's going on. He got us up to probably 110, 120.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, my feet are planted from here on out. I will watch and cheer, but I am not.
Are you not a fan of speed? No.
It scares me a little bit. It really does.
I guess to be in the car, yeah.
But, I mean, the energy around a race day is just, there's probably few things like it in sports, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, when that green flag drops, I never leave the media center except for the green flag on Saturday night. That is my one. I tell Tim, I said, I'm going out. And I go out and I stand at that fence. And when they're right there, it's just goosebumps.
Are there extra things planned for this race because it's so special?
So we have the Budweiser Clydesdales coming.
Nice.
Which, I mean, is amazing. And they are going to be a pre-race, which is great. We have the Lima Lima flight team is going to do an air show on Saturday. We also have two concerts that are going. Naked Karate Girls.
Oh, huge here.
I mean. Yeah.
People love them.
And be on the lookout. They just filmed something yesterday at the track.
No Richard Marks?
I've heard about that through the podcast.
Ashley.
I do.
Sorry, I cut you off. Keep going. Bare Naked Ladies, is that what you said? Naked Karate Girls, sorry.
Different. They're different.
I cut you off. Keep going.
You're totally fine.
You were telling us about the more fun things.
And J.D. Shelburne, who's a native of Louisville, Kentucky, who's an up-and-coming country music artist, he will perform as well, and he's great.
Got to have some country music with racing.
Absolutely, you have to.
You're going to find all the details this Sunday in the Inquirer, where we're having a special section this Sunday, then online all week. I mean, you're not going to be able to miss it. Like, there's a lot that we're doing with this, the coverage. Yeah. You can find out all the events that, timelines and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Sticking with driving, you live in Anderson Township and you drive to Sparta for work every morning. How long is that? And,
It's
how,
about
how do you
50,
pass the time? Do you listen to
podcast? That's So Cincinnati's my top.
Jason, you're shameless, Jason.
Shameless, totally shameless.
But no, yeah, about 50-minute drive from Anderson. Yeah. I don't hit much traffic going. Coming home is the right now. I mean, it's they're doing a lot of construction and stuff, but listening to podcasts, listening to music. I love my job there.
Yeah.
And
I
mean, there's nothing that could stop me from that drive. There really isn't.
I'm jumping around a little bit. I'm all over the place because I have a lot of questions I want to ask you. But
what's your downtime though? Like, definitely, there's obviously super busy all summer.
Right.
What's the downtime for you guys?
I would say, so I am actually leaving for vacation July 18th. I'm out. So, and just to try to get that in before the kids go back to school. But our downtime is usually, I mean, once, you know, September, October, November, we're always planning for next year. Mm-hmm. You can never plan too early for next year. And so those are kind of slower times for us. So
do you have other events at Kentucky Speedway throughout the year? Are there like, do people have like banquets and like those types of things?
Absolutely. We will rent the facility out. We do a lot of track rentals. We have car shows that come in. Okay. We just had a balloon, like a lantern fest that came in. Mm-hmm. We've had Tough Mudders, you know, stuff like that, Spartan runs. So yeah, we do a lot of that.
Knowing the track is roughly halfway between Cincinnati and Louisville, do you draw more greater Cincinnatians or more greater Louisville?
I would say Cincinnati's one of our top markets.
It is, okay.
Yeah, followed very closely by Louisville. But yeah.
I mean, you think of Cincinnati as baseball and college basketball and now emerging soccer. Where does racing fit in the lexicon of Cincinnati sports?
That's a really tough question because I hope it starts to go up with like I said, it's more than just a race, and that's how we advertise it. The race is the pinnacle of the weekend.
Yep. But it's an event.
It's an event. But there's so much to do down there from all the displays and all the sponsors that are handing out stuff. And I will say Friday, if you have kids, Friday's the day to come because not only do you get the race that night with the Xfinity drivers, but you get qualifying for Cup, which is awesome. And it's a full day event and it's not as crowded. Mm-hmm. So if you have kids, and kids are free with a paid adult ticket.
How many people do you project come next weekend?
A lot.
What's this?
A lot.
That's how I crowd estimate. Okay.
A lot.
You can hold over what's
we're at 69,000.
Yeah.
And also the great thing that's going on right now is Fireball Alley, which is a new top tailgate area for us that we just announced. And we're looking forward to that, having some, you know, millennials and just, you know, different group of people to try to get them interested in the sport. But once you get them there, I think they're sold. I mean, I was sold. So
it's so like all these industries are trying to target millennials right now. Is that? Like you just said, has that been a big focus for you guys too?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're trying to do a bunch of different things and in the area specifically targeted towards, you know, younger millennials. But it's a top tailgate area for people.
An example? Like what can people find in this area? Is it?
They're going to have games. They're going to have giveaways. They're going to have, you know, just a bunch of things that millennials would want to do.
Is it new this year?
Yeah. Oh, well, cool. We've had it, but Fireball has come aboard to be our sponsor. But
I can't imagine a better sponsor for that.
Come on. I'm actually saying, where's the Fireball around the office? We should do Fireball Friday. That's my whole. We could do a social media post.
So
should
we?
Pop quiz. One more race question for you.
Sure.
Before we shift gears.
Quiz.
Who was the first Quaker State 400 champion?
Who won the first Quaker State 400? Kyle Busch.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that question was for me. Thank God.
I would have given you a hint, Sherry.
All right. Shifting gears to another sport, baseball. Baseball on the radio. I don't even know where to start with this, but one of the things I wanted to ask you about was growing up with this famous dad. And can you talk about your relationship with him and how, you know, I know you guys are still really close and you've keep in touch with them. I even saw something on Facebook where you went out to San Francisco. Were you in San Francisco?
I was not.
You were not, but you had posted about the Giants. They honored him
absolutely
in the middle of the game.
Yep. And it's funny because I'm seeing all these tributes to him, and the one that really got me was the St. Louis one. And I was sitting at the gym and I was working out, and I literally had to walk away. And one of my friends said, are you okay? And of course I'm like, I'm okay, you know, I'm fine. And it, he's such an icon in the city, but as a dad, I mean, he's a dad, and that's what I look at him as. I mean, him and I have a great relationship, but I'm his daughter. He's my dad. We've always had that daughter father relationship versus like a best friend, you know, and I appreciate that. When we get off the phone, it's always, I love you, or I call, it's hi, honey. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
He doesn't say, and that's, what's the phrase, Jason?
And this one belongs to the Reds?
He doesn't say that at the end of your call?
Well, I sometimes say, does this one belong to Ashley? You know, like.
When did you realize he was an icon? When did he go from, he's just my dad, to, hey, everybody loves him?
I think probably when I was around 7 or 8 years old, my mom used to always have him on the radio all the time. And I never really. And then when kids started talking about him at school, oh, can your dad get me this autograph? You know, can I get your picture taken with my dad? You know, can I get Reds tickets? And I'm like, really? I didn't even. And then that's when it really hit me. So, and a funny story too, when I was little, I used to go to a lot of the games, and my mom would dress me to the nines with dresses, pigtails. And a funny story is that I would walk out with my dad, and he said, one time you walked out and there was people waiting for autographs, and you said, not today. He's not signing today. And I'm like 5 years old, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That's what I was going to ask you. So did you grow up going to the ballpark
Absolutely.
A lot?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. My grandfather, my mom's father was a huge, huge, huge. And that's how, you know, my mom and dad met through them. But he would always go to every time the Reds were home, and I loved it.
Have you tried to go to more games this year as we're kind of coming to a close?
I'm trying to, yes. I'm trying to, after race weekend and I get back from vacation, I'm going to go to as many as I can.
Right, so you've been bringing them the luck, is that right?
I hope so. Every time I go, I feel like they lose.
Oh, don't say that.
Do you listen to him a lot on the radio?
I do.
Have you always done that?
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially day games at work. Sorry, MLB, but everybody at work has a password. So we're all listening, and we're all listening to him right now, and that's something that is really cool around the office.
Yeah.
But last night, I had him on, and my 8-year-old said, is Papa on the radio? And I said, yeah. And he said, can we listen? And I turned it on, and I texted him and said, we're listening. You know,
Did he pick to be called Papa? Like, where does that come from?
No, that was Aiden. Aiden made that up. So, yeah.
And that leads me to what I want to ask you about was that he talks very glowingly about his grandkids. Mm-hmm. And you know, many great things about Marty is that he has a conversation with you. You're like, it's like he's your dad or your uncle, and he's right there with you. And he's talking about family and people's family and fans. But one of the things he talks about so much is that his grandkids and how much he loves them. And I know you've posted some great photos on Facebook with him going to their games. And
yep. There is not anybody more that loves kids and loves in general, but they light up when they see him, and he just, I mean, he gets on the ground with them. He laughs with them. And it just touches me. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing him with, you know, all the grandkids and supporting their sports, my brother's kids, my sister's kids.
6 grandkids, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Two and two, right?
Yeah.
They play baseball or softball?
My 8-year-old plays baseball. My 17-year-old plays football for Anderson High School. He's in his senior year. And then the other kids have tons of sports. I mean, my brother, Tom, his kids play, you know, soccer, basketball, mm-hmm. lacrosse.
Imagine Marty showing up, though, at like your baseball game. It's like he's just there.
No, he totally does. It's funny. My 17-year-old, when he was playing and they were winning, they were doing really well. He came and they asked him to give a pep talk because they were going into championship game, and he did. And it was touching.
Did you get to hear it?
I did.
What did he say?
Have fun. That's the number. When you're 14 years old, that's what you need to be doing, is having fun playing baseball. But that's basically what he said.
Did they win?
They did win. They won the championship. So he was good luck.
What do you ever, you know, through your years, did you ever, Marty, as we know, is in what made him part of what makes him a Hall of Famer is that he's never been afraid to call him like he sees him, never minces words. He's always incredibly brutally honest, and that's why we love him. Did you ever catch any flack over some things that he would say or criticisms that he would have of the Reds at times or
never. No. Nobody's ever said anything to me about that. Yeah. Nobody's ever said, hey, why'd your dad say this? Or why did he say that? Or a lot of people actually want his opinion. You know, why did he say that? What did what did he think about that? And usually it's why I need to ask him because I don't, want to say the wrong thing.
A hallmark of Jason's column is that he's also brutally honest about politics. And that's, yes.
Absolutely. Well, I've read a number of those, both of yours.
Having grown up like so many other kids in Ohio, and you hear everybody talks about having the radio up to their ear, laying in bed at night, and I was that guy, and Marty's all I've ever known, and I've always just admired his style, and especially I admire it even more as the years have gone by, as teams and companies and sponsors, things become so much more you got to play more by a talking points,
right.
Where he has always kept his style and that call like you see it style. And it's going to be sad to see him leave in many ways, but for that style, because there's not many people left.
And I don't think you're going to have many people in the future be like that.
Because so many people are afraid to, be honest or to even have honesty said about the company, if you're the Reds broadcaster or the Bengals broadcaster or the Los Angeles Lakers broadcaster.
Well, and can be because of the body of knowledge from the decades of covering it and being able to put everything into context from just seeing things over the years, like that puts you in a position to say, what the truth is.
And the other thing too, I've always admired about Marty is that he's never been afraid to be critical of the player, but then also the next day he shows up and he shows his face in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've always respected about him. I was a former sports writer at the Post back in the day, and I got to cover a little bit of baseball and I got to know him a little bit. And, and some of my buddies now cover baseball. Mark Sheldon's a good friend of mine from MLB.com. And, they just love Marty. And that's why, that he has sets an example that if you're going to be critical, you also need to be willing to take the heat, and you need to show up the next day and be available to take the heat.
And he's always said, his line is always, I can be critical of you when you're bad and I can praise you when you're good.
Yep.
So that's always been his line.
Yep.
So
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I think, is there anything else you want to talk about, Marty? This is one thing I did want to ask before we close. Were you guys, any thoughts yet on how he's going to be honored, and will you guys all, the whole family, be a part of that?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I feel like we will. The Reds always do everything top notch.
Absolutely.
And I do not hesitate to believe that this would not be something. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything.
I thought they had a lot of surprises up their sleeve.
I hope they do, because, he truly didn't want this. He doesn't like, being praised and people talking great about him. And I thought to myself, the fans deserve this, the people, and he finally realized that it's for them. And that's what he's going to miss the most. That's what he said. He said it's not necessarily the job announcing. It's the people that every day having dinner with my brother in the, before
there's
the
so
game, and all the people and all the relationships. Yep. And I love that every park he's going to, he's getting a photo, and kudos to my stepmom, Amanda, for doing this, but making sure he gets photos with the key people in every park
he goes to.
And she's posting them on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. And I think it's great. And I love seeing all of that.
I'll tell you, here's the, I wondered if the Cubs would honor him, because he's been critical of Cubs fans, and they did.
Yeah.
Wrigley Field, and the Cubs fans were tremendous and gave him applause. And that's baseball right there, that people can, they appreciate you know, a Hall of Famer, a long time. I mean, there's just those long time relationships transcend so many things in baseball. I do have one last question. Do you call him Marty or Dad?
I call him Dad.
Okay. Because I'm always wise because Tom, you know, sometimes he'll call him Dad or he'll call him Marty. Sometimes he kind of goes back and forth between that on
now,
the air.
No, he's Dad in my phone when he calls me. And believe it or not, the photo is him dabbing, which is so funny.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
It is. And when people see it, it's sitting out and, you know, and he's like this. It's fantastic. It's great.
Ashley, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun. Tell Marty we said hey, and thanks again.
Absolutely. Don't forget, Kentucky Speedway. Yes. Weekend after this weekend. Yep. Special section in the Enquirer at the Sunday.
And yep, absolutely.
Where can people, if you are tickets still available?
Absolutely.
And if so, where can you go?
KentuckySpeedway.com. We'll have all the information, weekend schedules, all the great things we have planned. That's where you need to go.
Perfect.
And then just imagine all of us dabbing right now.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much again to Ashley for coming in, stopping by, and congrats to her and the Kentucky Speedway, and thanks for sharing some of those fun stories about Marty in his final season here with the Reds, 46 years. Wow. I think it's going to be tough for a lot of generations of Reds fans when that last game comes and he signs off the air for good. I have goosebumps just thinking about what he's going to say and how that's going to be, and
you know what? You had a column talking about how we might memorialize him. Is there any update on that?
No update. It was very, very well read. Thank you to our readers and our listeners for the feedback on that.
Now you got to tell people, though.
Yeah. So what happened was I actually caught the tail end of on Sports Talk on WLW last week. Lance McAllister was talking about how they could honor Marty Brenneman. And he brought up some 2003, how it was the county sort of put the kibosh on putting Marty's and "This One Belongs to the Reds" iconic phrase on the side of the stadium. Much like they have Joe Nuxall's iconic phrase and rounding third and heading for home. So I just thought, and I just caught the tail end of Lance talking about that. So I went back and I looked it up and I'm like, I saw some stories in our archives and saw where it was Marty. What was I trying to say? So
they're going to memorialize the
club,
him on
the club at the time, it was all different ownership and different executives at the time. So the executive of the club at the time, John Allen, said that someone at the county told him that they could not put that up there because the county person, this unidentified county person, told him that, quote, people would think it belongs to the Reds and not the taxpayers, and the stadium belongs to the taxpayers. And the reporters at the time, John Arardi and Cindy Andrews, got a quote from Marty, and Marty just, in classic Marty form, never one to mince words, you always know where he stands. He just railed on the county and called it the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen and or ever heard of, and called it small time thinking.
Well,
and
you know how we're like that, so Cincinnati here on this podcast.
So Cincinnati.
That's so like politics, so, right? Like so overthinking Cincinnati politics. Everything.
And, you know, the commissioner at the time, only Todd Fortune is still around. All the other commissioners aren't there anymore. But yeah, it was
nobody
weird.
Nobody could remember who exactly
right,
said
exactly.
That.
Right, exactly. And so none of the stories ever showed who it was. And then the next day, the commissioners were all like, yes, this would be a great idea. And the county administrator at the time, this is totally fine. They can do this. And the Reds responded saying, okay, great, that's good to know. And it sort of just fell through. Well, here we are. That was here we are now, 16 years later. And, the time is now, I think, to at least. And so what I did was I called Hamilton County Commissioner Denise Driehaus, who's the president of the Board of Commissioners. And I asked her, like, hey, would you be open to fielding a phone call from the Reds or talking to the Reds about this? And she said, absolutely. I'm open to listening to them. I think it's a great I'm intrigued by the idea. I'm paraphrasing her. That this could be a great way to honor Marty. You know, we've honored Joe, and so let's talk about it. And called the Reds and just asked them to respond to that. And They just said, we're going to revisit what we're going to do for, you know, bouncing ideas off each other about what we're going to do for Marty here in mid-July, and they didn't tip their hand.
I mean, I feel like you should sketch out what it should look like for a follow-up column.
Yes, if there's two things I'm terrible at, it's math and art drawing.
Oh, so. I'm art and singing, which is why I leave all the singing to you.
I'm great at singing, too. Okay. anyway, let's get to more fun. I want to say this one thing about the Marty thing. I'm glad the converse, I wanted to just sort of put it out there and get the conversation going. At some point, you know, it's going to probably be a discussion about who is going to pay for this sign if it comes to that. But let's hope that everything goes smoothly. The county administrator said that in his interpretation of the lease is that the Reds would have to get permission from the county, but the Reds then, because it's not technically a capital improvement, would have to pay for the sign. So let's hope all that goes smoothly and everybody, we are in Cincinnati. So, but right now, let's not jump the gun and worry about who's going to pay for that. Let's just maybe see if there's a conversation to be had, and then we'll go from there. All right, jumping to our So Cincinnati moment of the week. Where were you, Phil?
So there he Cincinnati. Is.
Sherry? Dun, dun, dun. What do you got for us?
Well, I did a very Cincinnati thing over the weekend. I went to Findlay Market.
You can't get much more Cincinnati than that, no. Folks, unless you would have gone to Skyline.
No French crust.
Camp Washington, Gold Star.
Came downtown, French crust, omelet of the day on a Sunday morning, amazing, and then we'll just walk right across the street to Findlay Market. You know, it's not Saturdays, little less, you know, bustling, but not much. Got all the vegetables for the week, crab awesome. Cakes for dinner, I think, tonight. I forgot they were in there until I started talking about it.
Was it a good crowd? It was hot Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good crowd all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we left with some Dojo gelato, which I love. Nice.
What a gym. I mean, seriously, what a gym of a place, a market, a Findlay Market. What a treasure to have in this city, and the fact that it's endured all these years, decades and decades, all these years, and in a neighborhood that's, it's been there when the neighborhood was thriving. It was there when the neighborhood was really struggling. It's there when the neighborhood's bouncing back. But for that market to endure and continue to just bring people from all over and from the city, from the suburbs, just to come together and not just shop, but, you know, see each other and talk to each other is in the center core of the city is really a cool thing.
Oh, absolutely. I saw a lot of people that I know while we were there. Alex and Jack kept losing me. Like, where did you go? I basically just stopped to chit chat.
Oh, yeah.
And later when I put some stuff on Instagram, people are like, I was there. I can't believe I didn't see you. Like, it is a gathering place, and it's come, a long way even from what it was. It has that beer garden outside now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those shop fronts, like Maverick Chocolates, can like to stop in there, are full now and of new things that just adds to the vibrancy of the market. Gia and the Blooms came. They're an Over the Rhine flower shop. They opened, I know, on Friday. Stopped there. I had to get a little bouquet next to my bed.
What was the place that we were talking about, the flower truck?
Oh, that's Daisy Jane.
Daisy Jane.
Yeah.
We like talking about flowers now on the show.
I'm a big flower person.
Flowers.
Brightens up your desk, and we might be having a bad day. Why flowers? And it was Newsweek just said Findlay Market was one of the best markets. So, I mean, yeah, I love when we make those lists.
Cannot argue with that at all. Right around the corner, you have Rheingeist. So, yeah, it's a thriving area. And then right even on the other side, around the corner, you've got not far away is the relatively new, still less than a year old, Samuel Adams Tap Room brew pub, and that's a neat place too. Let's shift gears.
I got a text from you over the weekend. What was it?
What'd I say? Pretty picture.
Did you buy something?
Oh yes. I finally took the plunge after a month-long research and bought a kayak. and
yay! So you're kayaking.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I told my wife, I was like, I finally have a hobby. I was like, my hobby pretty much throughout my adult life has been work, and it's.
I thought it was talking on the phone to me. No,
well, I'm talking that's on the like phone a hobby. To you. Yes, that's become my hobby since I came to the Inquirer in 2012. But she just laughed and she's like, go for it. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to you and I are and your friends, and hopefully we can get more people to do it. Are going to go kayaking, and I'm really excited about it.
I know. And you're going to Paddle Fest. That's like, that's in August.
First of August.
August, yes. And yep. I mean, last year was my first one, and it's so much fun. You kind of cruise along and it's so relaxing, and it's kind of, you get down and then it gets harder to paddle and you're like, oh my God, is it over? It's so fun. Some people, I think it's 9 miles. People stand up on the stand up paddle boards. I mean, it is honestly, it is an amazing event.
I can't wait.
It draws people from all over the country.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. We're signing up when we go back to our desks after this.
My favorite part though, the kayak is already the $190 I paid for it at Sam's Club. I feel like I've already got my money's worth because I bring it home, I pull it out of my car, and we set it down on the on my little driveway, and my two boys, my six-year-old son Reed and my two-year-old son Roman, come running out, and they're like, kayak, kayak, a boat, and they both get and sit on it, and they're just sitting there acting like they're on the open water in the middle of a concrete driveway, and paddling away, and it was well worth the.
I love that way. It was well worth getting the kayak, out on the water.
Now we'll just leave it in the garage and let it stay there and collect us for the next 20 years.
That's not how we do our hobbies.
No, that's not what's going to happen. anyway, well, fun episode as always. Thanks so much. I can't thank you guys enough for listening to us. Our listenership is going up and up and up. Your support is so just means a lot to us. Don't forget that digital subscription, Cincinnati.com. Got a good deal running right now for 4th of July. Definitely want to wish everyone a wonderful, safe 4th of July Independence Day weekend. This is such a wonderful time of year in our country. And please enjoy it. Enjoy your friends, your family, and remember the purpose of this holiday. So thanks. We'll talk to you next week.